Good evening, ladies, and welcome to Growing in Grace, an interactive Bible study hosted by women, just for women. You ladies could be anywhere else tonight, but you chose to be here with us, ready to share in the Word. My name is Julissa Granger, and I will be your moderator tonight, Thursday, June 12, 2025. I would like to start by thanking the founder of Growing in Grace, Sister Vicki Jordan Williams, our favorite teacher-preacher, for creating this opportunity for women to gather and grow in God. Tonight, the women of Growing in Grace will discuss important issues and topics that matter to us, active, working, and busy women. This interactive Bible study is devoted to empowering women to live vicarious lives, not just tonight, but every day. We look forward to great discussion, sharing the inspiring and transformative Word of God, and meeting each woman exactly where she is. However, ladies, before we begin, there are a few housekeeping rules that we need to share. Because this is an interactive Bible study hosted telephonically, we must be mindful of background noise and each other. With that, we kindly request the following. Keep your phone on mute at all times and remain on mute until the speaker opens the line for questions and or comments regarding the lesson. Once you have offered your comment or completed your response, we ask that you please return to mute. Also, to make space for other women who may want to participate in tonight's discussion, we ask that you please limit your response to no more than 2 minutes. This will create the opportunity for more women to chime in and share or ask a question. Tonight's topic, the waiting, is brought to you from the following scriptures, Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 12, and 2 Samuel chapter 9, verses 1 through 13. Again, we'll be coming from Philippians 4, verses 6 through 12, and 2 Samuel chapter 9, verses 1 through 13. Now let's pray and turn our hearts towards God to invite him in to our discussion for tonight.
Amen. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, we thank you for tonight, Lord God. Father, we thank you for another opportunity to gather in your name, Lord God. Father, I thank you for each and every woman who took time out, Lord God, to dial into this line. Father, I pray, Lord God, that she's blessed through the word tonight. I pray that the word comes forth, Lord God, and that she is empowered by it, and that the word finds a place in her heart, God. Father, we invite the Holy Spirit into our presence tonight. Have your way, Holy Spirit. Have your way. Be the teacher, be the leader, and the guide. Direct this study tonight, that we may grow in the Word of God. And having attended this study tonight, Lord God, that we'll be better for it. We ask all these things in Jesus' precious and holy name, I pray. Lord God, I thank you for the strength to teach this lesson just as you've given it to me. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you, ladies. Welcome to Growing in Grace. I appreciate each and every one of you. I know you could be so many other places, as the moderator said, but you chose to be here tonight. I do want to say up front tonight that I'm going to go in a different direction tonight. So I'm going to share the Word of God. I'm going to ask one or two questions, but at the end, I want to go through a seven-day worship while you wait plan that I took the time to put together for Christian women. And I will make this available to women for download. If you so desire, you could text us at the number that you received the marketing material from there at Growing in Grace. And I will, with your email address, and I'll be more than happy to email this 7-day worship while you wait plan to you. And so with that, I also wanted to take the time to just encourage you guys with some words of encouragement that the Lord placed on my heart. With everything that's going on and with the women that I've spoken with on the phone for the last week, I feel as if it's necessary to begin with some encouragement. So we gather tonight not just to hear a word, but to be encouraged, ladies, through the word, together, to collectively honor God with our worship, and to put the enemy on notice, amen, that we will not be moved. Though we are experiencing turbulent times, challenging times, we will trust in God. Our confidence is steadfast in an almighty God and never in mankind. Ladies, we believe God. We believe God. And despite what's unfolding around us, I know that some of you may be feeling uneasy and honestly a bit anxious about what is your next. You're wondering, how do I plan for the next phase of my life? Am I going to have a job next week or maybe not? Which way do I turn considering the circumstances that are unfolding in the streets of our cities here in the U.S.? Should I launch this business right now? Should I accept this out-of-state promotion at this time? These are the questions that many of you are asking. Have I prayed with some of you and I've encouraged some of you? That though there is experiencing uncertainty, many are experiencing uncertainty, and you're even feeling disconnected about your future. But I say to you tonight, as I said to some of you this week, put your faith in God. Your confidence in Him will remain because we serve a steadfast God. We serve a God who is unwavering. And despite the urgency that we are sensing in our nation, feeling like the nation that we've experienced is on the brink of some kind of change, we can also experience the peace of God. We can experience the contentment that is available to us through the word of God. Yes, there's some uneasiness, but I want you to be encouraged tonight because God has not changed. God is still the same God today as He was yesterday. Be steadfast, ladies. And as a minister of His great grace, I want to encourage you tonight that we serve a righteous God. We serve a God who loves justice and mercy, and He cares about us and everything concerning us. God is especially concerned about the least of those among us. Saints, we serve a living God. He's the architect and creator who by His righteous hand created the whole world. The Word of God says that everything was created by Him and for Him. And without Him, nothing was made that was made. Hear this with your heart, with your spiritual mind. And as the God of creation, He sits at the center of the universe. He stretches out His hand to the four corners of the world. The whole world sits in the palm of His hand. He's the God who sits high and He looks low. Saints, we serve an all-knowing and an all-powerful God. It is He who orders the world. Hear with your spiritual mind. It is He, God, who orders the world. He holds the hearts of the kings in His hand. And like the rivers of the water, He turns it in every way He pleases. Our God is sovereign. He absolutely has everything under control. And though you may fret, it's understandable. Though you may even be experiencing some anxiety, be assured, saints of God, that we can remain steadfast in the hope of glory because God has it under control. Every bit of it. He is the author and the finisher of your faith. We understand that this national crisis would not be resolved anytime soon, so we wait. But while we wait, we do not buckle, nor do we bend during these dark times. Instead, we are called to press into the presence of God where we worship. We wait on God and we worship. We do not wait on mankind. We earnestly wait for the move of God, being assured that He will move. He will move because He promised. And when God moves, He moves in His timing, according to His will and His way and for His glory. God will get the glory. So while we wait, we earnestly wait in worship. And that brings me to tonight's message. There is power in the waiting. The King has remembered you. Amen? There is power in the waiting. The King has remembered you. Not will, He has remembered you. So as we finish up Philippians 4, 6 through 12, we've done phase one, the request, phase two, the wilderness, phase three, Philippians 4, 10 through 12. We will look at that through the lens of 2 Samuel 9, 1 through 13, with reference from 1 Samuel 20. Now, I am not going to read 1 Samuel 20, nor 2 Samuel 9, 1 through 13 in its entirety. I will summarize it. I know that you, saints of God, are familiar with both of these stories. So as we're learning how to experience this contentment that Paul is talking about in Philippians 4, 9 through 12, we will do so as we look through the promises of 2 Samuel 9, 1 through 13. And I read, and I'm going to start at verse 11. Philippians 4, 11. For I have learned to be content. This is Paul speaking. Whatever the circumstances, I know what it is to be in need. And I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. Paul said, I have learned to be content. What is he talking about? The secret of contentment. I would like to submit that Paul is talking about worship. Worship is the secret to being content. We worship while we wait. This is why we don't bend, nor do we buckle. Because we have set our gaze towards heaven. We are lifting up our hands towards heaven in worship. Because we understand that we serve a God on the final say-so. Amen? So before I move forward, I have a question. What is your personal definition of contentment? What does contentment look like to you personally? You can define it, or you can provide a testimony that describes your personal reflection or definition of contentment. The line is open.
Amen. Good evening, everyone. I think for me, contentment is being at peace and being okay and knowing that God is in control no matter what it looks like on the outside, no matter what else is going on around me, just being grounded in the fact that God has it and I just have to flow with it. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Someone else, I'm enjoying this. Someone else, what is your personal definition of contentment? What does it look like to you? The short answer for contentment for me is worship. Amen? We experience contentment. I'm talking about that peace of God that surpasses all our understanding, that guards our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus. This is what Paul is talking about. Getting to that place of contentment while you wait, you worship. And in your worship, you ground contentment. You grab your peace. It's the peace that surpasses your understanding. It's far higher than what you or me in our own ability could muster. This is the peace of God. That's contentment. And we grab that contentment through our worship of God. I like to say that it's that worship of God anyhow, as the old saints would say. There is power in waiting. And while you're waiting, there is power in the worship. The worship helps to manifest the contentment while we wait. It allows us to walk in the blessed assurance that God is, God can, and God will. Why? Because he promised that he would. He made a promise of our peace. He made a promise concerning everything concerning us, to care for us in every area of our lives. He promised to do so. So worship is focusing on and responding to God. Worship is focusing on and responding to God. Worship is the catalyst to our contentment then. It's worship that rounds it up, wrangles it in. The worship is what fuels and empowers us while we wait. on God. It keeps us from buckling. It prevents us from bending. It's a peace that stands in the gap while you're waiting on God to answer, while you're waiting on God to move. It provides us with what I like to call that standing power, that strength to stand. The Word of God says in Ephesians 6, when you've done all you can do to stand, you have the power to stand thereon. And it's through worship that you're able to accomplish that. It's never available in our own strength or in our own power. That is the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. And when we worship God, God meets us there. Because he says, if you draw nigh to me, I will draw nigh to you. So when we worship God, when we hold God up to the promises that he made to us through his word, God shows up. God always responds to our cries. He always hears our cry, but it responds to his word. Amen. Waiting isn't easy, but waiting is a necessary part of the journey. There's a journey between the prayer and the promise. We talked about that the last time we were together. So waiting is a necessary part of the journey between the prayer and the promise. And worship is a critical part of that process. Worship is a critical part of that process. It allows us to stand and trust who God is and what he says. It gives us the strength to stand. It allows us to believe that while we wait, God will come through. Because that is what his word says. And when we worship, there's worship through songs and praise towards God. When you're lifting up your hands and glorifying God and honoring him just for who he is. And then there's worship in your service towards others. It's getting beyond yourself and the woe is me, for I am undone. I'm not belittling where you are. I'm just emphasizing the service part. There's something about worshiping God through service of others. It allows you to leave your concerns and focus on someone else. That is worship. Service is a form of worship. And then there's worship through the Word of God. And this is our primary focus for tonight. And this is why Sister Vicki is always hopping on or emphasizing the importance of knowing the Word of God. Every woman who's a part of my discipleship class knows that this is where we spend the most of our discussions on learning the Word of God, understanding how to break that Word down, squeeze every bit of God out of that Word, so that we may be empowered and strengthened, well aware, with full understanding of the promises of God and his authority through that word in our lives. We have to know what's in the Word of God to effectively claim the promises. We have to know what the Word of God says about us. What are those promises that Sister Vicki is talking about? They're in the Word of God. And like any contract or agreement, you must carefully read it. Even study that document, this Bible. I've heard some say that the Bible is basic instructions before leaving earth. Then we have to know what those instructions are. We have to know what is included in those instructions to fully understand and be aware of what's outlined in this agreement, this covenant. What are my rights and privileges? What are the boundaries of this agreement? We must have an intimate relationship with the Word of God in order to walk in the power and authority of the Word of God. We have to know what's in it so that we can walk fully and empowered by and through the Word of God. Amen? So learning to be content while we're waiting means worshiping God through His Word while we're waiting. It's allowing our minds to be transformed by the Word. It is the Word that renews us. This is what Paul was talking about when he said, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right and pure and lovely and admirable and excellently praiseworthy, think about these things. Whatever is of a good report, think on those things. That's because your mind has been renewed through the Word of God. It allows us to see life from God's perspective, meaning the Word of God is. It's when the Holy Spirit gets involved in that word that we're reading. And it changes our gaze to where we're able to think on those things that are of a good report. Because our mind is set above and not below. You change your thought process from the problem to focusing on the promise, though the promise has not arrived. We're waiting. But we can look towards heaven and call those things that be not as though they were. Not because of any great or wonderful thing about us, but because of the grace and mercy of God. Because of what His Word says, we believe it is so. And because of the Word of God, and having a renewed mind, that's when we can think on those things that are good. This good report is that God knows our future. God does. Our future is not dependent upon mankind. Our future rests in the hands of God. It is God who is well aware of the direction of our lives. It is God who already knows the outcome of your prayer request. Because it is God who has worked it out for your good. It is God, not mankind. So the good report is that God is in control and He will have the final say-so. So this kind of waiting is not passivity. This waiting involves activity. And this activity is worship. Contentment is found in our worship. So I have another question. I'm going to stop there. How can a woman of God develop spiritual contentment even when your circumstances don't change? Your circumstances have not changed. You're waiting. How can you, woman of God, develop spiritual contentment while you're waiting, even though your circumstances have not changed? The line is open.
I think is as you said, you keep saying repeatedly that to keep that contentment despite circumstances, you have to focus on the presence of God and the relationship of God and praising God. That's the only thing that's going to keep you grounded, because that's where the contentment comes from. So you have to stay steadfast in that praise and worship despite circumstances.
Amen. Amen, amen, amen. I'm in full agreement with that. Thank you, woman of God. Someone else?
I would say, speaking from experience, even now, just like you would train any muscles, there are days we show up to the gym where we're sore. We don't want to put in as much effort as we did the day prior. But keeping my mind focused on what was promised, disciplining myself to understand that I don't have it all, and so therefore I have to depend on the timing of God, the truth of God, the certainty of God, because doing it my way has proven unsuccessful. And so it's a constant disciplining of submitting myself to what has been promised. And as you said, taking the time to reassure myself in what his word says and what the truth says about him, and relying on that.
Amen. 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 Absolutely. Absolutely. We have to practice our worship. Amen. It is a muscle. It's a spiritual muscle. This is what we're talking about in a nutshell, spiritual discipline. And like any other discipline, it has to be practiced. We have to practice our worship. Amen. Someone else? I have time. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
I think it's just like... Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I think it's just like you said, worship. I often have to remind myself to go back to a space of gratitude, just thanking God and not, looking for that prayer to come through or looking for it to be answered my way, just thanking God for everything that he has already done, because it is enough. It is enough. And just worshiping and reminding myself of that, that helps me to get back into a space of being okay with the wait and being content. Amen.
Amen, amen. She said that contentment for her is gratitude. And for me, it's focusing on the character of God. Amen. We have one more. Come on in. Go ahead. We have time. Well, amen. It's focusing on the character of God while you're waiting. It's like the woman of God said, it's like being able to reach back and thank God for what he's already done, focusing on the promises of God, being grateful for what God has already done, because she said, because that is enough. Amen? That is enough. And I think in a nutshell, with all the responses that the women have provided here tonight, it's because you have a confidence in the Word of God. Your faith and your confidence is in the Word of God. What the Word says about God and what the Word of God says about you. You are therefore fully aware of the covenant agreement that God has made with you. That's faith. That's confidence in the Word of God. And understanding that this agreement can never be broken. It can never be voided. It has been sealed by the blood of Jesus Christ. From the Old Testament to the New Testament, God has promised his people. And because God has promised us, he will keep every one of those promises. We serve a God who is a promise keeper. And this brings me to 2 Samuel 9, 1 and 13. But before I go there, it's important that I back up to 1 Samuel 20, because this is the foundation to 2 Samuel 9 and 13. Amen? In 1 Samuel 20, Jonathan and David are swearing oaths to one another. And if you go over to verse 12, it says, "Then Jonathan said to David, I swear by the Lord thy God of Israel that I will surely sound out my father by this time, the day after tomorrow." David is on the run from Saul. Saul is indeed trying to kill David. He understands that David has been anointed king of Israel. But David and Jonathan, who is Saul's son, are the best of friends. They love one another, the word of God says. And Jonathan wants to protect David from Saul. And so he makes an oath with David that despite what happens, that they will protect and look after each other from generation to generation. The word of God says, "May the Lord be with you as he has been with my father," Jonathan says. "But show me unfailing kindness like the Lord's kindness as long as I live, so that I may not be killed. And do not ever cut off your kindness from my family, not even when the Lord has cut off every one of David's enemies from the face of the earth." And verse 16 says, "So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David." And Jonathan had David reaffirm his oath out of love for him, because he loved him as he loved himself. Now hold on to that. This covenant was made by blood. Whenever we see in the Old Testament where it says a covenant was made, that covenant was made through sacrifice of an animal. And when that animal was slain and the blood dripped, those who were making that agreement walked between the pieces of that slain animal. And that signified that they were in agreement with a covenant that was sealed by blood and could not be broken. Follow me with your spirit mind. I know you know where I'm going. Hold on to that. So now in 2 Samuel, David is now king of Israel. Jonathan is dead, and David now sits in Jerusalem. And the word of God says that David was concerned about this oath that he had made to Jonathan. He did not forget the blood covenant that he made with Jonathan. And 2 Samuel 9:1 says, David asked, "Is there anyone still left of the house of Saul to whom I can show kindness for Jonathan's sake?" Verse 3 says, the king asked, "Is there no one still alive from the house of Saul to whom I can show God's kindness?" Amen. The servant of the Lord answered the king and said, "There is still a son, Jonathan. He is lame in both feet." David asks, "Well, where is he?" The servant answered, "He is at the the house of Micah, son of Imeel, in Lodibar. Hold on to the word Lodibar. So this son of Jonathan's name is Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan. David sends for him. I can imagine that this young man must have been terrified, thinking that David wants to kill him, because he is a part of Saul's lineage. David could have wanted to slay him to ensure that no one else could claim that throne that he was now sitting on. But that's not what happened. David says to him in verse 7, "Don't be afraid, for I will surely show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan. I will restore to you all the land that belonged to your father, your grandfather Saul, and you will eat at my table." Hold on to that. And Mephibosheth, grandson of Saul, ate at David's table forever. He relocates to Jerusalem because it's safe. And Mephibosheth lived in Jerusalem. Why? Because he always ate at the king's table. Now that means something, and I'm going to break it down to you. When you look at the word Lodibar, Lodibar in the Bible means a desolate place. It's a place of waiting. It's a place of no communication. It's a place of hardship or spiritual emptiness. It's a place where you often feel crippled, or you can't move or walk on your own. That's the way the commentary describes this city called Lodibar. It's a place of hardship, but there's no communication. And oftentimes when we're waiting for God, it feels like God is not speaking, or you can't hear from God, or God has not spoken to you yet. And sometimes in that place, it's tough. It's a tough place to be. But you understand that while you are waiting on God, that he is going to answer you, because he too made a covenant agreement with you. And this covenant agreement was made with you through the blood of Jesus Christ. That because our Savior went to a cross on Calvary and died and shed his blood, he restored us back to God, allowing us to once again have access to all of the promises of God. That we too have been adopted into the great grace by which we also cry, Abba Father. And that though this is a place of hardship and no communication, we can rest in knowing that God will speak, God will show up, God will come through, God will meet us at the place called Lodibar. The king will come and get us from Lodibar. We understand that through the promise that he made to us, that we would not remain in Lodibar. God is coming to get you from Lodibar, because he promised. He made a blood covenant through the body of his son to come and get us from Lodibar. Amen? Lodibar is a place where the Holy Spirit moves big. This is a place where worship, I said earlier, is critical. This is the place where we're reminded that God has not forgotten us. that the king will come. If we would worship, if we would worship, our hope will be restored. And we will be able to grab hold of our contentment. Because we rest not in of ourselves or our ability to stay still, but in the promise that God made to us. And in this place, we have to allow the Spirit of God to minister to us, to renew our minds, to shape our thoughts, so we can think on those things that are good and pure and noble and of a good report. To change our gaze to look towards heaven, from where our help and our strength comes from. To be renewed and strengthened while we wait in Lodabar, in a desolate place, in a place of no communication, when God is silent, or when God has not answered us yet. And though this place might be tough and painful and desolate, perhaps you feel forgotten even in this place, know this, that because God is in control, we are exactly where we are supposed to be. Lodabar is exactly where we're supposed to be. So it's important that we stay right there and we do not move until the king sends for us. We don't move from Lodabar on our own, because this is only a season. We know that while we wait, we understand, we are assured that God will come and get us from Lodabar. Amen? God will come and get us from Lodabar. So I have another question. No, I'm not going to ask another question. I'm going to go on to the conclusion because I want to unpack this seven-day worship. So I'm going to close it right here, and then I'm going to go on into the seven-day worship while you wait plan for Christian women. Women of God, God's will is perfect for us. He knows how and when to show up in our lives. And when God shows up, it is always exactly when we need him. And it's always how we need him the most. God knows what's best for us. He is the King of Glory. He is a promise keeper. And he would not violate the blood-bought covenant that he made with us through the death and resurrection of his Son. If God, no, because God has promised to never leave us nor forsake us, he will not. The covenant agreement says he will not. Because God has said that I will provide every one of your needs according to my riches and glory, he will. Because the blood covenant says he will. Because God has said by the stripes of his Son that we are healed, we are. Because the blood covenant says that we are. Because he said that no arrow by day and no terror by night shall ever come near our dwelling, it won't. Because the blood-bought covenant says that it won't. No weapon formed against us shall ever prosper. You know how I know that? Because the blood-bought covenant says that it won't. So I encourage you, do not move from Lodabar, from the place of waiting, until the king sends for you. Because when God comes, when the king sends for you, he will bring you forth with full restoration. Like David, God always restores everything to us. David restored everything to Mephibosheth. God too will restore unto you all that the cankerworm and the palmer worm stole from you. And it's through that blood of Jesus, that covenant, because of his blood, we can stand on that promise. Like David promised Jonathan that he would take care of his family, God has promised us the same. He will perform his word. He will take care of us. You can stand on that word, and it would never return unto God void. Amen. God has not forgotten us. He would never leave us in Lodabar. Amen. And so I want to close with some suggestions. And it's a 7-day devotional plan that is designed to help us worship and to grow spiritually and to remain anchored in hope while we wait on God's answer. And so I would say surrender the situation. That's the first thing you could do on day one. Surrender the situation. Find a worship song that meets you where you are. I would encourage you to find a song that talks about worship. Amen? There are plenty of songs. You may have a playlist already. Proverbs 3:5-6 is an amazing scripture to start out surrendering the situation to God. Let go and trust God should be the theme of that first day. Write a prayer of surrender to tell God that you trust his timing and invite him to take full control. As an action step, write down what you're praying for and place it in God's hand. I would encourage you all to get a jar. I spoke at a women's conference last summer. And during this conference, I gave the women jars. And I would encourage you to get a jar that you can place those promises of God inside of. Amen. On day two, let this thing be, he's done it before, and he'll do it again. This is remembering God's faithfulness. There's a worship song by Elevation called Do It Again. That could be your worship song for today. Get a scripture that talks about the faithfulness of God, like Lamentations 3:22-24. Reflect on what God has already done for you. Journal about 3 past times when God has come through for you. And as an action step for application, share one story with a friend or on social media as a testimony about God's faithfulness. On the third day, think about praising God in the middle of your waiting. You can theme this day worship while it's still unanswered. There's a worship song called Praise You in This Storm by Casting Crowns. I love this worship song. And Habakkuk 3:17-18 is perfect. And as a reflection, think about, where are you struggling to praise God with right now. Be honest with God. It's your response to Him. Remember, worship is focusing on and responding to God. This is between you and God in your intimacy. And as an action step, I want you to sing and dance before God. I want you to praise Him in the middle of it. I can't remember the name of this young man, but a song called Praise Him in the Middle of It. I praise you in the middle. And there are some more steps to this. Feed your faith on day 4. Pour into others on day 5. Create a secret place on day 6. Rest and reflect on day 7. And on each day, journal about what is God saying to you that day. Journal about how you chose to worship while you wait. And journal about what you're learning about God's character. Always theme your day. Like, fill the mind with truth. Worship while I'm still, while it's still unanswered. Use the waiting to bless someone else. Meet God where you are. God works while you rest. Choose a worship song each day. Journal each day. Reflect on God every day. And always include an action step. Again, I have created this plan, and I'll download it to every woman who texts me at the Growing in Grace text that where you receive the marketing material, and I'll be more than happy to get it over to you. I created it for you, so I'll be more than happy to get it over to you. I pray that the Lord has blessed you with this word tonight, as He blessed me while I was putting it together, as He led me. And I pray that you put it into motion as you move throughout the rest of your week. I turn you over to the moderator. Amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Sister Jordan Williams, for tonight's teaching, for guiding us through the importance of being content in the waiting. Ladies, God will. And you can take the time to fill in the blank with whatever you're waiting for Him to do for you, because He will. Amen. Well, we here at Growing in Grace encourage you ladies to continue meditating on this word. Allow the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of God to minister to you throughout the rest of this week, and know that your confidence, our confidence, is without a doubt in His word. If you were encouraged, as I was by tonight's teaching, we kindly ask that you do two things. We ask that you share this word of encouragement with another woman and invite a friend to connect with Growing in Grace and join us next time by forwarding the weekly marketing text that you all receive from Growing in Grace each week. If you want to leave a comment about tonight's message as it was shared, if you would like to receive the materials in regards to the upcoming 5 days, please feel free to text your comment to Growing in Grace. It's the text number, the same number in which you guys receive your weekly invitation. And if you are in need of prayer, please reach out and contact Growing in Grace using the email address at growinggrace, capital I, capital N, capital G, 2025@gmail.com. Again, that's Growing in Grace, capital I-N-G, 2025@gmail.com. Now I turn it back over to Sister Vicki Jordan Williams for important announcements or any for our closing prayer.
Well, amen, amen. I will see you all or hear you all on the line in 2 more weeks. Again, just text me at the Growing in Grace marketing text line that you receive our market material on, and I will send the material over to you all. Remain encouraged, ladies. We don't buckle and we don't bend during this season. Just anchor yourself in the Word of God and worship through the Word of God. Amen. So, Father God, we thank you for tonight. Lord God, I thank you for the Word that has come forth. I thank you, Lord God, that the Word has been received by open hearts from each and every woman on this line tonight. Father, I thank you, Lord God, that you have not forgotten about us, Lord God. I thank you for the blood covenant that you've made with us, that strengthens us and reminds us, Lord God, that you would never leave us and that you would never forsake us. And Father, that though this place may feel like the wilderness, though it may feel like a desolate place, that Father, that we are encouraged in knowing that while we wait, God, that you have it all under control. Father, that we're encouraged in knowing that you know exactly where we are and that you will come through for us and that you will perform according to your word because you are a faithful covenant-keeping God. And so, Father, we thank you, Lord God, for being the King of glory in our lives. And that, Father, because of our worship towards you, Lord God, that we can grab our contentment while we wait on you. So, Father God, I pray that you bless each and every woman in her household, Lord God. Keep her comings and her goings, Lord God. And I ask that you bless her, Lord God, and whatever she puts her hand to do. Father, inspire her through the Holy Spirit as she reads your word, Lord God, that she may be rooted and grounded in intimacy with you. Father, I ask all these things in your precious and holy name, I pray. Amen and amen. Ladies, be blessed. I'll see you again in 2 weeks. Amen.
Amen.
God bless. Good night.
Amen.
Good night.